Highlands, and we did a Hebrews Bible study, our last chapter of Hebrews, Hebrews 13. We read that like one of the last 3 days of the program, and we invited Tanya to that, and our director was like, I have full faith that Jesus died on the cross for my sins, and I believe in God and all of this, and he's like, I believe 100%. How much do you believe? And she told us that she believes 5%, and we were all so ecstatic, like 5% is just, that's just the Lord working. And there's just, I could go on and on about Tanya, but it was just, she has an amazing testimony, and we're just praying that the Lord will send more people to just work in her life and to continue to pour into her. But this month was just, I can't talk enough about how amazing this month was. But the books that we got to read during this month were The Gospel Comes with a House Key and Counterculture. So those are really amazing books. I would really recommend Counterculture. And our scripture memory was Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. And then December was a little bit shorter because we had Christmas break, so we were only there for about 11 days. But during this time, we had to write a 10-page paper on either someone we met or a celebrity, and we essentially had to research what they believed and then strategize how we were going to share the gospel with them or, like, maybe disciple that person. And then we had to present them to everyone. And then something else that we did in December was we set up goals for Christmas break. So each of us set 3 to 4 goals to keep over Christmas break to kind of keep us on track for January. And then something else in December was that this is when we found out that our trip to Nepal was canceled. So as this was kind of shocking to us, we were very comforted by just knowing that the Lord is sovereign and that his plans for us are always better. And as it turned out, we got to go to Thailand, which was so, so good. But our scripture memory for this month was Psalm 67, and then the book we read was To the Golden Shore, which is a missionary biography about Adoniram Judson.
Then we had the our Christmas break, which was like, I think, weeks, and we came back home early January. But over Christmas break, a lot of us spent our time at Passion, which is just this huge conference. I think there were like over 50,000 people at the conference. So there was a ton of people, and lo and behold, COVID invaded our midst, and I think it was 9 out of the 14 of us ended up getting COVID. So we were quarantined for the first 2 weeks of, the month of January. So during COVID, we didn't let that take our opportunity to train and take our opportunity to just, like, share in our love for the gospel with one another. So we ended up doing these quarantine Bible studies. Different people in the program led Bible studies, like, talking about, because a lot of us were wrestling at that time with what we wanted to do with our future. So one person talked about that. One person talked about just missions, just multiple different things that were talked about during those quarantine Bible studies. And something that me and Allie mutually agreed on was that quarantine is like an amazing, amazing time in DC, because not only were we surrounded by peers who like loved the Lord, like, and were super, super involved in his word, and just, it was just amazing, but it was like a redo of Christmas break. So over Christmas break, like Allie said, we were supposed to make these goals, like, I want to read my Bible every day, catch up on my Bible reading plan, memorize a certain passage of scripture, and some of us didn't have the opportunity to do that over Christmas break. So quarantine was amazing because we had the chance to just completely do over anything that we'd messed up or forgotten or missed. So we all ended up really, really loving quarantine, and you had a minimum of like 3 hours a day to spend your time in your Bible or praying or journaling or whatever you wanted to do. So it was a really amazing time. After quarantine, though, we got the chance. We were supposed to spend this whole month doing NGOs, which are nonprofits. We worked with Christian nonprofit organizations in the D.C. area. So Allie worked with a food pantry. She got a mark of cans, and she has a really cool story that she'll share in a second. But I got to work with Little Lights, which is just like a little, it's called Little Lights, and it's an after-school program that helps kids with their homework. So it was really cool to just be a part of those kids' lives, and I'll never forget some of those kids. I really got to make good connections with them, but here's the food pantry.
So like Ariel said, I got to work at a food pantry this month, and this was a really fun month because I just got to mark cans of tuna every day for like 4 hours. So lots and lots of fun. But there were 4 of us that would go every day for this month, and it was always just us alone in this room just marking cans. And no one ever really came in and out. Like, they would give us instructions and then just kind of send us on our way. But the very last day that we
went to the food pantry, we walked in and there were two men, like, marking cans in there already. And so it was really cool, too, because this month we were also learning about world religions. So we were learning about Buddhism and Hinduism and Mormonism and all these kinds of things. And so we walk in and there's two Mormons marking cans in this room, and we literally just got to spend 4 hours with them sharing the gospel and just witnessing to them. And so it was just really cool to see the Lord's sovereignty in that, to just give us an opportunity the very last day we were at this food pantry and just witness to these two men. So, and then so after January, February, this was arguably our favorite month of the year. We got to work with church plants this month. And so I got to work with Pillar DC, and she got to work with Pillar Woodlawn, which are two separate church plants, but they both focus on planting churches in military communities. And so they strategize this way because they have a lot of people coming in and out, because a lot of people in the military have to relocate. So they'll plant churches in the military communities, and then they'll pour into these people and their families, and then by the time they have to relocate, these people in the military are ready to disciple others, evangelize, and plant more churches. So in a way, it's like a mini sending agency that they have. But so what I did this month was our pastors gave us the challenge to get over 100 surveys in the Capitol Hill area, because that's where my church plant was. So me and two others would go out and just walk up to people and ask if we could interview them, basically. And we got to survey over 100 people and share the gospel around 50 times. And then something else we did during this month was paint the whole sanctuary, which was just such an experience, to say the least. And then something else that was really cool about this church is we were just welcomed by the church body and just made us feel like family there, just so loved on by everyone in that church. And the pastors would meet with us once a week and just teach us a class about the church, or teach us about, yeah, membership or all the fun things that go into ministry. And then you can share.
Okay, so for my church plant, I got to work at Pillar Church Woodlawn, which has the same, like, I guess, mission statement that Ali's church does. But we had the cool opportunity to make a schedule for this thing, this ministry that they have called Food Truck Friday, which is something really awesome that I got to be a part of. It's like a ministry that they have on every other Friday of the month, where they like have all these kids come out and these food truck owners, and they get to share the gospel with them. And it's just a really cool outreach opportunity that we got to schedule. And we also got to schedule some really good food trucks. So that was fun. And we also had the chance to contact different missions teams during this month. So I think I wrote down multiple, like at least 100 or 200 churches to contact, because they love working with missions teams and they want to get missions teams into the military community to just work with them and work among them. So it was a really amazing month. Also, the two girls that I worked with that were up here a second ago, those girls, they were two of the more quiet girls in the program. So it was probably one of the sweetest months for me, just because I had the opportunity to kind of forced community to spend at least 1 hour a day every single day in the car with them, just talking with them and getting to know them better. And I think that's one of the reasons why it was such a sweet month, is because we both got so close to the people who were not only in our church plant, but who were going with us. So,
yeah, another big focus of this month was theology at work. So we learned a lot about, in our training sessions, how to glorify God in your workplace. So we had people from different jobs come in and teach our sessions and just kind of give us an overview of what they did and tell us, like, how to realistically, like, honor the Lord in your workplace, or, like, how to do that. So.
Okay, so the month of March was, the theme was basically Thailand training, but because of the conflict with how we couldn't end up going to Nepal, it was kind of oddly placed in the timeline because it was mixed with stuff that was supposed to be after our international trip, but that didn't end up happening because we ended up moving to Thailand. So this month was a little bit of a mix of Thailand training with like post-gap year plans. So it was really cool. Oh, sorry. It was a really cool month, but it was also interesting. So we spent the first part of our month working with, hold on. Did we do that this month? Oh yeah, we spent the first part of this month working with this dude named Timothy, who owns this architecture company that employs, I think, believers or unbelievers to be able to share the gospel with them that are living in Ukraine. So it was a really cool opportunity to work with him and just be a part of his ministry. We got to learn a lot about work and business and about, like,
just lots about business. It was a really interesting month, but it was really awesome, too. This month, also, our main focus was Thailand training. So we got a lot of practice on evangelism and gospel presentations. So the big things that we learned were how to share the gospel in different manners. So the biggest one that we learned, I'd say, was creation to Christ, which is like something you can draw on a piece of paper or a napkin or anything. Like, you can make it anywhere from like 2 minutes to an hour when talking about it. So it was just really awesome to learn that gospel presentation. And another one called Three Circles. And then I think the biggest one that a lot of us used the most was sharing the gospel through our testimonies and how the Lord has changed us in our lives. So that was just really, really awesome to be able to train in that way. We also, so this month is whenever we ended up leaving to go to Thailand. So we left to go to Thailand on March 16th after our training on like how Thais think, spiritual warfare training, decision-making, Thai religion, and just going into the workplace and overseas security training. We ended up going to Thailand. I think it was the first flight was 16 hours long, and then the connecting flight was like 9 hours long, so it was a crazy long time. But after we got there, we had to quarantine for 2 days in Bangkok, and then we drove to a place called Bang Kla, which is where we would spend the next 2 weeks of our time in Thailand. So, oh, this is an awesome dude named Pigo, who drove us everywhere. He was like, he was really cool. But during our time in Bang Kla, we had so many opportunities. So once we got there, we stayed in a clinic that the missionaries, they're called the Derbyshires, they ran this clinic, and it was just amazing to see their ministry, because they ran a whole clinic and then a whole business like connected to the clinic. It was literally amazing. But we also got to work in the business that was connected to the clinic, so we stayed in the clinic, but we got to work with a ministry that was connected to it. It's called TCT, Thai Country Trim, I think is what it means. But it basically employs Thai unsaved and saved women who need jobs so they can be employed from their homes. They can work, oh gosh, they can work from home, or they can work in the building, or they can work anywhere. It's just a really neat way to be able to give them gospel community and Christ-centered community, sorry, and just to be able to immerse them in that type of environment without even having to leave their homes or without leaving their kids. So that was really cool to work with. I think that one of the biggest parts of this, of Bang Kla, though, was working at this, or going to this place called Cafe Amazon. This guy on the left here, yeah, his name's Sky. He has a really awesome testimony. I'm going to share it really briefly, but like a week before we went to Thailand, he decided he wanted to be baptized because I think he'd been saved for like 7 months before. He's like, I want to be baptized. I want to tell the world that like I believe in Jesus. And so he decided to tell his mom. And his mom told him that, you can't believe in Christ. Like, I'm kicking you out of the house. And so he was, like, scrambling, like, oh, my gosh, what am I going to do? And he told his mom, like, why do you get to worship your gods, but I don't get to worship mine? And that really struck his mom, and she ended up letting him stay in the house. And it was really amazing. We got to witness we actually got to be there to witness his baptism and two other Thai believers' baptism. So it was just literally amazing. But Cafe Amazon, that place that we saw a picture of a second ago, was a place where there's a Bible study for believers like him and believers from his area. I don't remember what it's called. His little...
Bonpo?
Yeah. Well, Bonpo, but I don't remember. The little area, county or whatever. But there was a little Bible study there. And him and then another girl that we got to spend a lot of time with named Anne and another guy were the first three believers in Bonpo since, like, God created the earth. And it was really cool to be there and witness, like, one of the baptisms of, like, one of those people, because it was just an amazing experience. But we also got a hold of VBS, which was a big part of, I think that was one of our highlights, was, like, going and working at the VBS. And we got to spend a lot of time with all of these really cute and sweet kids. And even though there was a language barrier, we got to have fun with them. I ended up, like, being without a translator for, like, an hour one time. And I was, like, over here, over there, like, just scrambling around completely. But it was so fun to just have fellowship with them. And they got a really cool gospel presentation, as you can see on that little whiteboard back there. But we also got to go on different prayer walks and just spend lots of time with the nationals and the missionaries. I think spending time with the missionaries was a highlight, too. Just having lunch with them and hanging out with them and getting to know them, because it was completely invaluable to just have conversations with them. So after Bang Kla, we headed to Chiang Mai. It was like a 10-hour drive from here to there. So
in Chiang Mai, Bang Kla, we had kind of a strict schedule. We were doing stuff every day, and they had set it up to where like we had like an hourly, like something we were doing every hour. But in Chiang Mai, it was a little different. We had more of a flexible schedule. And this actually was really sweet because minimum we got like 3 hours in the Word or in prayer a day. And this is just a really sweet time for us because we just got to kind of reflect on the trip and just spend a lot of time in God's Word, and it was just really cool to see all the ways that the Lord just worked in all of our hearts and lives. And then we got to, like, share that with everybody, so that was really sweet. And then something else that was really special about Chiang Mai is we got to study Hebrews together, so every night our director would be like, hey, like, meeting in the living room in 5 minutes, like, we're going to study Hebrews, and we would just sit there for, like, 2-3 hours just going through one chapter of Hebrews, just talking about it and just meditating on it, and it was just really cool. And so that was a lot of our time in Chiang Mai, but we also got to do a lot of village evangelism. So mosquitoes are a really big problem in Thailand, so we had these, like, mosquito bait things, and we would go door-to-door and just, like, hand them out and give them to people, and then we would get to share the gospel with them. So that was really sweet, too. And then something else that we did in Chiang Mai was we had several sessions with different missionaries. So Chiang Mai is more of, like, an urban city area, so missions is more, like, upbeat versus, like, I don't know, I think a lot of the time we hear missionaries and we think, like, I'm going to go live in a hut in, like, this village. But missionaries here were, like, accountants, and there was a missionary that we met, and he had a deaf ministry, and other missionaries that owned an abortion clinic, or a
support for...
So that was really cool to just see all the different ways the Lord was working in Chiang Mai, and just all the different ways that people can, like, the Lord can use us to reach the nations. So, and then something else, like, one of my favorite parts of Chiang Mai was we also got to spend a lot of time with the missionaries here, and we met a couple who had just actually gotten kicked out of a closed country, and they had been doctors there for over 30 years, and they got found out, and they had to leave. And instead of just retiring, they decided to move to Thailand and just start over. So it was really encouraging to just see their commitment to just reaching the unreached and just their heart. They had a heart for Muslim men and women. So just to see their heart and just commitment to reach the Muslim community, even in Chiang Mai, was just really cool. And then April 16th, we came back from Thailand, and for the rest of the month, we had kind of like closing things. So this month we attended Secret Church at NBC, which is really cool. And then we also did an Unreached People project, which was basically all of us had to pick an Unreached People group, and then we had to make a business plan on how we would reach them. So, and then we had to present them. So by the end of that week, we had 14 different ways to reach the unreached. So that was really neat to see, just all the different ways people came up with to reach the nations. And then another activity we did this month was we mapped the entire Bible. So by this time, we were wrapping up our Bible reading plan. So we got to just kind of map out, like, chapter to chapter, and that was really cool. And then the memorization we did for this month was Philippians 2, 1 through 11, and then the book that we read was Don't Waste Your Life by John Piper.
Okay, so to wrap up the year, we spent the month of May just talking about, like, where we're going and what we're doing with our future. So we wrote a lot of our sessions were, like, wrap-up sessions. Like, we want you to do a survey, like, how did we do? How was the leadership? What did you learn? What did you not learn? What helped you? What didn't help you? And we got to do a survey like that for one session. In another session, we had the chance to write letters to our future selves. So our director was like, oh, this is cheesy. Like, this is dumb. Because he had to do it when he was young. But after he did it and he got his letter from himself, like, a year later, he's like, whoa, like, so much has changed. Like, God has done so much in my life. And he was like, I want that for you guys. So we wrote these letters to our future selves for, like, multiple hours. It took a really long time, but it was just a really sweet time of, like, reflection over the year and, like, what the Lord's working in my life and her life and, like, just what he's been present in and stuff. And it was just really cool, like, reflection. And also during May, our last thing was just commissioning. So our commissioning was just sending us off. And there was tears, I think, for, like, a week straight. Like, so many tears for a week. But it was also amazing. We also got to read the book Don't Waste Your Life by John Piper. So that was a really good book. But something that we feel like was an overall theme of the year was the Lord's faithfulness.
He was faithful to lead us both into the gap year program, and he was faithful to carry us through the gap year. He is still faithful at every turn in our lives. He has also proved this to be true over and over again this year, and we have no doubt that he will continue to do so. So that's kind of an overview of, like, just highlights that we've had this whole year and, like, our favorite stories. So we kind of wanted to share our testimonies with you guys and what he's done throughout this past year. So,
yeah, so the Lord did so much in our lives over the gap year program, but I think there were just main things in our lives that the Lord did. So for me, coming into the program, I really struggled with being assured of my salvation, and I honestly had moments where I wasn't confident that I was following Jesus. I found myself doubting God's promises, and I questioned my salvation constantly and if I was saved. I believed the lie that my salvation was dependent on my faith, and I believed that doubt meant I probably wasn't a Christian at all. Because of this, I felt so much shame and embarrassment, and for a long time, I thought I could overcome this struggle on my own. But God brought me to a point about second semester where he just showed me that I was incapable of bearing this weight on my own and that I needed him to carry it for me. In his kindness, he gave me his word and sent me his people to just love on me and point me to truth. One thing that someone told me during the gap year was that my confidence should not rest in my faith, but that it should rest in Christ and what he's done for me. That phrase, along with the verse John 6:37, have completely changed my life. John 6:37 says, "All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out." The part that says I will never cast out has assured me over and over again that I belong to him and that he will hold me fast. I now know that the weight I was feeling before was God's gracious heavy hand of conviction on my life. By his patience and his grace, I can now walk with joy and confidence, knowing that he has brought me out of darkness and into light.
Okay, so as many of you guys probably know, I came into the program from a small Christian school and a church community. Most of my days were spent with the same people and the same friends whenever I was home. And because of this, going into the program was like a complete environment shift. So I was fully surrounded by people who I'd never met before. So it was exciting to spend time with all of these new friends, but something that I didn't even realize coming into the program was like that was something that I idolized. And that was something that I even remember talking to my mom about it so much, like, excited to make new friends. I'm so excited to make new friends. And my focus was just completely messed up. But in the program during the month of October, I spent lots of my time staying out late and hanging out with my new friends. And it seemed super fun until we got in trouble for our late night trips to the monuments or even to Delaware, which was a really, really dumb decision looking back. But I found myself really frustrated with my authorities for like being punished because I didn't feel like we had directly broken any rules. Therefore, I rationalized it in my head. I was like, oh, we were just trying to have fun. We didn't break any rules, blah, blah, blah. But flash forward to Christmas break, and I was still completely idolizing these friendships. I had the chance to go hang out with my two best friends that I made in the program in Alabama. So I spent that week meeting new people, staying out late, eating good food, making memories, and talking in the hot tub until like 3 in the morning, which is crazy. The only thing that wasn't present that week that had been present for the past 4 months was spending time in the Word and spending time with the Lord. And I didn't even realize, like, looking back, I was so depressed and so, like, I felt really empty. Like, I had everything that I thought that I wanted, but I didn't. But after I came back to D.C., I was reading Psalms 1 through 3, which is where we were in our Bible reading plan. And I don't even remember what it was saying. I just remember being in the Lord's presence and reading in his Word. And I was like, this is the first time I've been in his presence for a few weeks. And I felt like I was finally living in obedience to the Lord's command to spend time in prayer and in his Word for the first time in a while. So in Birmingham, I had everything I thought I wanted, and in January, I got the chance to taste and see everything that I needed and I will continue to need for eternity. So I daily praise the Lord for his grace and mercy on me and the sacrifice that Jesus was on the cross to take my sins and shame away from me. Without that sacrifice, I'd still be lost in a pit of my own desires and wants and needs. However, because of that sacrifice, I find my hope and joy in Christ, and for that I'll continuously praise the Lord for the rest of my life. So, in light of our testimonies and the ways that the Lord has worked in our lives this past year, we want to give a huge, huge, huge thanks to our JCBC family. Like, the word thanks cannot even describe the amount of support that you guys have given us. These past 9 months would not have been possible if it weren't for your constant prayers and support. We also want to thank you guys for the love that you've shown us while growing up in this church. Like the ways that the pastors and the teachers, specifically James and Dan, I really love you guys so much. But the ways that you guys have poured into us have really increased our knowledge and our love for the Lord, and it's just been completely invaluable. And we just wanted to close by saying that we love all of you dearly, and we're praising the Lord that we can call this church our home. So thank you.
Thank you, Allie and Ariel, for sharing that with us this morning. It's a blessing to hear all the things that God did in your lives and everything that happened. And just, I'd like to take a quick moment. I know it's been a long morning, but I hope that you've been blessed as I've been blessed this morning. But in Revelation chapter 4, we see John's vision from the Lord of this great worship scene. And in Revelation 4:8, we see these four living creatures around God's throne saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and is to come. And then in Revelation 4:11, the 24 elders fall down before God, worship Him, and say, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For You created all things, and by Your will they were created and have their being." And then this vision comes to a climax in Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 through 12, when it says this: "After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.' All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshipped God, saying, 'Amen, praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen.'" This passage is the heartbeat of missions. Here we see this great multitude of believers throughout all the ages, people from every tribe, nation, tongue, and language, worshiping Jesus Christ, the Lamb who was slain for our sins. And John Piper, in his book, Let the Nations Be Glad, says, "Missions exist because worship doesn't." And today, there are literally 3.2 billion people in the world who will more than likely be born, live their entire lives, and die without hearing the good news of Jesus Christ. And He's called us to be on mission, church, to go into the world and to make the gospel known. Here at Johnston Chapel, there have been godly men and women I've heard many stories about throughout the years who have understood this and have sought to support missionaries through our church. Our church has sought to support them by giving financially, through prayer, and through caring for them. Johnston Chapel has sent out missionaries such as Dr. Wheeler, Pastor Dana and Amy, Eric and Christiana, Nick and April, and Lord willing, others coming through our church even now. This doesn't even begin to mention those who have gone into missions or the ministry from Johnston Chapel who weren't officially sent by Johnston Chapel. Under Preacher Jimmy and Pastor John and now Pastor Dan, our church has been a church that loves missions and loves what God loves, and that's the souls of people. And in 2015, Pastor Dan and Pastor John and Pastor Jim, Pastor Stutler, they had been working on a new mission strategy. And that mission strategy states this: "The mission strategy of Johnston Chapel is to train, equip, and support believers in Jesus Christ who have been called by God to be sent into the world to fulfill the Great Commission." And it goes on to say in our mission statement, or our mission strategy, "The vision and passion behind this strategy is that Johnston Chapel must fulfill a vital role in reaching every tongue, tribe, and nation with the gospel of Jesus Christ so they can experience God's glory for all eternity." And our prayer is that God will continue to work in Ariel and Allie's lives and the hearts and lives of others through our church, and that we will be doing the task that God has given us to do. And what is that task? Well, we see that in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Church, we must remember that as Johnston Chapel Baptist Church, we must stay on mission. We must remember Jesus Christ who gave us this mission. We're talking about our Lord and Savior who went to the cross and suffered and bled and died. He willingly laid down His life to die on the cross, to be scourged, to have the crown of thorns, to be beaten and spit upon and humiliated. He did that for your sin and my sin. And He was buried, but on that third day He rose again. And He is the one who has given us this mission to go and to make disciples. So we need to remember this mission. God's desire is that people throughout the world, again, would come to know Him. 3.2 billion who have never even heard. And then, as we seek to fulfill this commission, that means we're to be doing that right here in Princeton, in Mercer County, in West Virginia, in Virginia, where God has placed us. You and I are to be on mission, to be making disciples right here. And before we can do that across the world, we need to be faithful to do that here as well. So I challenge you this morning, are you making disciples of Jesus Christ? Are you sharing the gospel with your friends, with your coworkers, with your family? Are you taking young or new believers under wing and teaching them how to read the Bible, how to pray, how to live for Jesus Christ? This is the mission that God has given us to do with our lives. So church, will we be faithful to staying on mission, to pray that God would continue to raise up young people and even others from within our church to go and to fulfill this great commission? I pray that this morning has been a great reminder to all of us of this mission that God has given to all of us, to go and make disciples of the nation. I pray this morning that you'll stop and evaluate your life. Where God has placed you, He wants you to be on mission for Him. Are you using the resources and the responsibilities and the influence you have to make disciples of Jesus Christ? I pray that whatever God is doing in your heart this morning, that you will act upon it. Perhaps something that Ariel and Ali shared this morning touched your heart. Maybe God's been working in your heart for some time. After the service, I encourage you, speak with Pastor Jim, Pastor Dan, myself, one of the deacons, a godly person in this church. But if the Lord is working in your heart and prompting you, speak to someone this morning. Listen to Him, obey Him, and I promise you, you will never regret it. So Johnston Chapel, let's stay on mission this morning. Let's close in a word of prayer as the praise band comes to lead us in worship. Father in heaven, we thank You so much for this day. And God, we give You all the honor and the glory and the praise for what You did in Allie and Ariel's heart. Lord, how You taught them and how You guided them, how You allowed them to experience so many different things and to grow in their walk with You and their love for You, Father. I just thank You so much for all that we were able to hear about this morning. We pray You'll continue to work in these young ladies' hearts, that they would seek You. We pray and ask, God, that we as a church, that we would pray for our missionaries, that we'd care for our missionaries, support them, that, God, You would raise up more missionaries from this church to go and to share the gospel. And, Lord, that we as a church would be faithful to make disciples here where You've placed us. And Lord, we pray and ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.